Hey geeks! Welcome to episode 75 of It's All Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, Kate. In this episode, we're going to discuss The Duff, which came out about 2 weeks ago, stars Robbie Amell, super cute movie. We're also going to talk a little bit of Marvel news, some Marvel film news, and a couple of other little things. Hashtag for this episode is The Duff, and stay tuned until the end so that you can hear the secret word to enter it into our contest that's going on over on the blog. Enjoy! I chose probably the most appropriate movie theater to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, was I so comfortable. And there were only like four other people in the movie theater.
I hate you so much.
It was so great.
Wait, how come you and Leslie have these great, like, comfortable movie theaters and I, who have direct access to Manhattan, do not?
Manhattan theaters are not going to... Here's the deal. The theater that I was in, you know how like a whole row is usually like almost 20, depending on how big the theater is. If it's a smaller theater, then the row of seats can be maybe 12. But it's 12 seats. This theater, because all of them are like reclining and wide and have like these armrests, it's maybe 8 seats to a theater, to an aisle. And there's not as many because there's a lot of legroom. So that's my only theory on why they wouldn't do it in Manhattan is because you would lose seats and lose money.
Yeah, but there should be at least one.
I'm not discrediting that. I'm just saying that's why I think they wouldn't do that.
It's unfair.
Because I know life is unfair. But the movie was super cute.
Adorbs, right? I told you.
Super cute.
I told you,
it was just me and four other people in the theater, and it was two older, not older, but like people older than me. And maybe in their 40s, on a date, I think. The wife wanted to go and see it, and the husband was like, okay, fine. And then in front of me was a mother and daughter who was maybe 19 at the most. So me and the daughter were laughing at pretty much everything, the whole movie, together. And I was like, I feel like a moron because I'm laughing at this stuff that's really not all that funny.
Oh, no. I think the best part was there was two occasions where the boy's eyes, because I dragged him to one of my showings. I went twice, as you know, because...
I know you went twice.
You know. Well, I was trying to spare him, so I took my normal movie partner in crime, my coworker, because he likes romantic comedies. It's weird. But whatever, we don't judge. So I was like, oh, he'll totally see it with me, and then the boy won't have to come, and I will spare him, at least until this comes out on Blu-ray, because I will own this movie. After the decision had already been made that I was going opening night, I was going to see it with my coworker, and then I would come home on Saturday, a friend of ours texted and was like, double date, dinner in the Duff. I was like, yes.
I'm not sure. I'm not going to say I won't ever, but I'm not sure I would go to the theater and see it again. It was very, very cute. Very cute.
Well, also because I knew we'd be talking about it, it gave me time to focus on smaller things. But
I was very thankful that I had very minimal people in the theater because I was like, I'm going to take notes.
There was a couple times, there was at least twice, that the boy's eyes lit up at one of the references and he just looked at me and went, oh, like, that's right.
I love how they mentioned other things in it too. Like at one point he mentions Pretty Little Liars. And I was like, oh, he did it.
It was the Spinal Tap reference?
Yes, the Spinal Tap reference was great. And it was Alice and Janney.
And the gigantic Simpsons reference.
Oh, that one was really good too. The fact that she was watching The Simpsons and her got the idea for her whole like divorce seminar from The Simpsons cracked me up.
Oh yeah.
Of course, what's really funny when she first walks on screen, she's wearing that like blue pantsuit.
Yes.
And my note was Dottie Piper looks like a rock star in that blue pantsuit. Damn, Alice and Janney. And then 5 seconds later, one of the girls calls her a rock star, and I was like. I totally saw that coming.
You're like, I knew.
Yeah, it was almost like I knew. And then they told her she looked like Hillary Clinton. There were just some hysterical moments.
There was so many random references, dude, that you just went, yes.
But I was the one in the theater who, like, the minute that I had an involuntary audible, like, when Robbie walked on the screen.
Oh, I did too.
And he like, hold his shirt with his abs out. I went, oh, no. You people don't know what you got into.
I will say, though, it was later on in the movie during the mirror scene when he comes, like, bopping out full on with his, like, your number one hand. And he's like, oh, yeah. The boy literally turns to me and goes, Robbie Amell is the best. And he goes to watching the movie.
It is criminal that that family has such amazing genes.
I know. And they're all super funny.
Yes, I know.
And kind of talented. It's annoying. You're not supposed to be that good looking and talented.
No, I know. Oh my goodness. I did. The one thing I found that was really, I kind of liked as a stylistic element to the movie was that they used the hashtag thing. That whenever she would think something about someone, it would be like hashtag not this girl or whatever.
Right.
I loved that. I thought that was great. And it really brought it present to, you know, like the time when we all have cell phones and iPads and all that stuff.
And half the time we speak in hashtags.
It's appropriate sometimes. But I did rather enjoy this movie. It was very, very cute. I had a little bit of trepidation going in because we've had this conversation before. Teen movies, not my bag.
I know, and you're so wrong about it.
We're not getting on that soapbox. I went in and I was like, well, I'm in a comfy theater. I've got this nice reclining chair. I've got my popcorn and my soda. This will be fun. And it was super cute. Like, I laughed a lot more than I thought I would. So I thought that was great. One of my favorite lines is one of the girls, the evil girl, whose name I can't remember because she was such a butthead.
Played by Bella Thorne. I think it's Madison.
Yes, Madison. She says something to Wesley about being able to date 30-year-olds. And he goes, that sounds like an excellent episode of Dateline. Enjoy those saggy balls. I died laughing for like 2 minutes.
Of course you did.
There were just some amazing lines in this movie. I can't even. And here, oh, and hold up. The guitar playing kid, she's all into, what's his name?
Toby,
thank you. She's all into Toby, and he's got this like group of people who are always around him while he's playing the guitar. And I sat back and I went, whoa. In my high school, the kid who schlepped his guitar to high school and like played it all the time was not popular. He was in his own group, yes, but he would have totally been a nerd.
Well, see, what's interesting, and part of the reasons I'm like fascinated by these like teen movies is because I so did not have that experience. My high school was super small. I do believe there was like 200, maybe 200 and some small number under 10 in my graduating class. So we all kind of knew each other, and because of big group activities, be it sports, you can tell I was part of the sports here, right? Be it theater or sports. And we also had a music requirement, so at least for your first 3 years, I think, in high school, you had to do either orchestra, chorus, or band, which was like mixed with all the different grades. So there weren't really there were quote unquote popular kids, but nowhere was this huge like hierarchy. It was the people who kind of thought they were popular and had like parties, but nobody who didn't go to the parties cared that they didn't go to the parties.
No, see, there were 2,000 kids in my high school between the three grades, sophomore, junior, and senior. There were 2,000 people. So we most definitely had a lot of these kinds of cliques. But it was interesting in my high school experience anyway, like from 9th grade to 12th grade, how some of them shifted and changed and how some of those people who I thought were like horrible people were not, and I became friendly with them before I left high school. Of course, I'm not friends with anybody from high school anymore. One, and I hardly ever see her.
I talked to one, maybe two.
Right. So it's funny how they were talking like, oh, we'll be friends forever. No, you won't.
No, you won't.
No, you won't.
You know what's really funny? I know people who have been friends forever with like people they went to like high school with, and I'm like,
oh my god, my mother is friends with people. Yeah, my mother is friends with people that she went to high school with still. And I was, how did you hang on to that?
I'm lucky if I still friends with people I went to college with.
That too, yeah. I don't really hear from anybody I went to college with. So
to be fair, there's a lot of people that I speak to that I went to college with, but that's only because the boy and I went to school together, and most of his friends were local, so we see them all the time, but like...
Yeah, see, that's a little different. I went to school for theater. Right. Which everyone's scattered across the country. We have a yearly meetup in New York that I never go to.
We don't care enough to do that.
Maybe if I run into them, now that I'm back in theater, maybe if I run into them, we'll see.
But so it's always so interesting to me to see these types of things portrayed. And I told you this movie was going to be super cute.
I didn't doubt that.
You did a little.
I never doubted that.
You did a little.
All I knew was I was going in and there was Robbie Amell's abs and I was still going to like it for that. That sounds incredibly sexist, but
you know what, we get objectified enough.
But I know, I just hate to be like the feminist that objectifies men. But it's
no, as a feminist you want equal rights for both sexes, so if they can objectify us, we can objectify them.
I'll buy it. I do have a note here, this cracks me up, that Bianca was so awkward at times that I was watching it through my fingers.
Yeah.
I would lean back and cover my face. I can't watch. This is too bad. It's painful.
Oh, that cast was spectacular.
They were great. All of them were so great. And I loved the end when they were announcing all the credits at the end of the movie. They include everybody's Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. I was like, if you're ever curious, who was the costume designer for this, go follow them on Twitter.
Well, also, what I thought was really cute, when they do the whole, thing at the end where it's everyone going, I'm the Duff.
Mm-hmm.
You know how there's that random shot of someone who's not high school age, she's like, I'm the Duff, and then it cuts back to the actual movie?
Yeah.
That's the author of the book.
No way! I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's so cool.
I saw it the first go through and was like, what was that? And then watching it the second time, I went, oh, I know who that is.
I loved her awkward. What was he? What did he teach? Was he just the journalism teacher or did he handle?
He was journalism.
Yeah, I figured. But I really loved him. He was so teacher kind of awkward. I have had a teacher like him who thought he was one of the cool teachers, but he really wasn't.
Gotcha.
I loved it. He was adorable.
Well, that's his role in everything.
Oh, I know.
Generally a little angrier.
The outtakes toward the end where he was trying to be as Asian as possible was...
I think one of the great moments that can kind of fly by is when he goes back into the classroom and he's like, I forget what the kid's name is, but he's like, you better cut that out. And the kid's like, you're now my dad. And he goes, oh, yes, I am.
Yes, that was another one of those times where I bust out laughing.
There's just a few random gems that are thrown in there that you're just like, wait, did that just...
Yeah, there are a couple of them that are really great. I love that they invented a word, because Wesley at one point tells her, that's because you're racist against jocks. You're joxist. And I was like, he just made up a word. This is great.
See, that's why we should be friends.
It was so amusing. And another one of my favorite lines was when she goes, so you know how the hills usually have eyes? Well, it turns out the shrubs have bitches. That was so good.
Which, I have to say, though, I really wish they had given that girl a little more of a storyline.
I know. She was just kind of there.
I feel like she might have had one in the original script. Maybe. I hope so, because it just seems so, creepy. You were waiting for her to have her stand-up moment to be like, I'm Madison, I'm over you,
Or I'm no longer going to be your Duff, whatever.
Or I'm your Duff, or something like that. And you got, none of it. It was just I'm gonna video things.
Yeah, that poor girl was just there in the background.
But I feel like she might have had something more to do, and it just didn't make the cut. Also, speaking of cut scenes, I don't know that this is a cut scene, purely speculation here, but you just watched it tonight, so maybe you noticed. After Bianca has her date, and she leaves the crying message.
With Toby and the fake sushi.
Fake sushi. And she leaves the crying message, and she sees the whole, Think Rock explosion, if you will. Goes back, he knocks on her door. Was it just me, or did it look like he'd been crying?
I didn't get that, no.
It really, his face was kind of red, and I don't know, I think he sniffled or something.
Well, what I kind of liked is it wasn't just a fluff movie. There was a little bit of a backstory. She's got a single mom because her mom and dad divorced and her dad took the dog.
Mm.
That whole thing. And then with him, his parents can't stop fighting, which
right.
clearly could be part of the reason why he was failing chemistry.
Right.
Whatever it was. So I like that they kind of gave them a bit more of a meatier backstory. The thing that I always have a problem with these teen movies is that no teenager has this much freedom. Like, no teenager that I ever knew could go to a party on a Wednesday night with mom's blessing. Not only that, some people in my high school had a car. Not right. many. And the ones that did had, you know, the very wealthy parents.
Right.
But the fact that, like, she and she comes outside at one point or whatever, and they're going to go away, and it's right before she takes him to the Think Rock the first time. They meet outside, and they're just kind of talking, and she hands him the chemistry book, and she's like, okay, so we're going to get going. It did not seem like, the way he left the house to me, it did not seem like he was getting ready to go somewhere, because he hadn't told his parents he was leaving, even if they're in a fight. I would never, I mean, maybe it was just me, but as a teenager, I never would have left the house at 16 and been like, I'm hopping in the car and I'm going to go to the movies with a friend and not tell my parents.
True.
Now, at my age, yes. But
true. But, to be fair, if his parents are screaming at each other and not paying attention, it could also be a way of him, quote-unquote, acting out.
Maybe.
Just avoiding and not dealing.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It was just a little odd for me. And, like, you didn't really get to see him with his parents. You heard them, but you never really saw them. And whereas you saw her relationship with her mother, and even when occasionally she would try to have young girl mother conversation, her mom would blow her off with some kind of something that had to do with one of her seminars or something.
Right.
And her mom didn't quite get it, which was an interesting, like, in that sense, I was kind of like, well, she's at the point where she's, like, even when she's telling her that she should have fun on her date, I forget, just the ending of it is, but just don't conceive. And I was like, what? She's 15 or whatever, 16.
No, they've got to be like 17.
All right, but still, it was just like that moment where she's like, you know, something achieved, just don't conceive. Like, you got the kind of relationship that the two of them have right there.
Right.
So it was, you got to see her relationship, and it was more about her. The movie's called The Duff for the reason, and it is more about her. But with him, it was just, you didn't ever see him with his parents. So, you know, you're left wondering, are they the kind of parents that were like, go off and do your own thing?
Yeah, but it's not about him.
No, I know. That's what I just said. The movie's called The Duff. So I get it. It's just, come on, you know me. I always have to dig deeper. I always want the origin story. I want the origin story.
It's a teen movie. It is what it is. It's just supposed to be happy and make you have little fuzzy heart.
Yes. Stop trying to find the origin story, Kate. Stop.
Stop it.
I've been too deep in Marvel land. That's the problem.
I know. Stop it.
Stop it right now. It's really funny. I have a note here. Like, when she first goes to Toby's house for the date, I thought it was so stinking cute. At first, though, when they walk over to the table and there are four places set, I was like, is he planning on having dinner with his parents and her? Like, this is going to be weird. And then, like, they start the dinner and I was like, oh, maybe it was just misread on my part.
Right.
And, oh, like, while they were having the date, it was kind of cute. Like, the way he was talking, and he was like, I'll play you this song later, and blah, blah, blah.
What was he doing?
Well, here's what I have a note that says, oh, Toby Tucker is adorable, and I would date him. And then
The following note
is, you jerk. How dare you duff her? Like, I was getting on her side.
Well, the worst part is, so I knew it was going to happen, and I'm just sitting there going, no, no.
I know.
No.
It's sad, because he seems like he's a really sweet guy. Like, I made sushi, and I was like, I kind of like that idea of, you know, let's have dinner at your house kind of a thing.
Right, yeah.
And then he blew it.
Also, I forget what the song was, but there was a really simple rhyme that he couldn't come up with.
Yeah, at the end of the song, he wanted the last lyrics to be, I just want it to be the two of us, which was just too many words.
Oh, it should have been us too.
Right. It was just too many words. And he's like, I haven't worked it all out yet, but I'm really happy with it. I've been working on it for a while. I'm like,
Really? Go play covers.
Oh, Toby. And then he starts asking her about her friends, which she's like, oh no, God.
No.
And it was such a perfectly angsty 5 minutes of film if you look at it, because that happens and she's upset and she's calling Wesley and gets in her car and goes to the like her place, and there he is sucking face with Madison, and you're just like, you slowly are becoming like this ball of angst, like, no, this is not fair, this is not how it's supposed to go.
Well, I mean, you know that's not how it's going to end up, but at the same time...
You do know. I mean, you kind of go into a movie like this kind of knowing how it's... The story has a general way that it always lays out. It might be different dialogue and different characters, but it's kind of the same thing.
Oh, my personal favorite moment, though. First time I'm viewing it. Like I said, I took my coworker, movie partner in crime, sitting next to me. And they make... the comment, this is when she's doing her whole wrap-up thing, and she's like, and Wesley's going to Ohio State, and I'm going to Northwestern, so we'll see each other all the time. Now, my coworker went to Ohio State. Yeah. He just leans over and he goes, that is nowhere near each other. They should just break up now. This is not going to work. It's too far. Break up now.
She was like, so we can visit. And I was like, and a year into that, it's going to end in real life.
Literally, it's this happy moment in the movie. Just break up now.
Just get it over with. Oh. No, I know. But anyway, yeah, the movie was super cute. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. I probably, you know, were I over someone's house and it was like on TV or they were going to do a movie night with it, I would watch it again.
Oh, good.
Oh, no. I just opened that up, didn't I?
Ta-da!
I was just told by one of the actors that I'm dressing for this show that we just put up that I need to watch All About Eve and the Women, because we were talking about an old Katharine Hepburn movie called Stage Door,
right?
And she says, have you ever seen The Women? And I was like, no. And she goes, if you love Stage Door, then you'll love The Women. And then she
you've
told
never
me
seen All About Eve, by the way?
No, I've never seen All About Eve, not the new one. She wants me to watch the older one.
No, I know there's a new one.
Yeah, apparently they did a remake.
Oh no.
With Reese Witherspoon, I think she said, and she goes, don't watch that one. Watch the old one.
Why would you?
I wouldn't.
No offense, Reese. I mean, you have your moments.
But my problem with modern remakes of classic films is they don't usually get it right.
Mm.
Like, the feeling around these movies is very specific.
So right.
When you try to bring it modern, it doesn't always work. So like the remake of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, yes, let's still set it in the 60s when it was originally made, but how are you going to step into the shoes of Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy? It's just, and Sidney Poitier, like, that went off in a little weird direction. I'm sorry, I took us down a rabbit hole.
That was, yeah, well, it's all right,
it's still related, it's a movie.
We're talking movies today.
We are talking movies today.
Which, by the way, it came to my attention the other day that way back, maybe a year ago or so, there was some sort of rumor about Stephen Amell being in a movie. Why hasn't that happened yet?
That needs to happen. That really needs to happen. I just found out that the lead actress in Outlander is going to be in a George Clooney movie.
Ugh, George Clooney.
I know, that was my thought too. I love her, and she's beautiful, and she's a great actress, but I was just like, George Clooney? Oh, no.
I know. I never understood the whole George Clooney, Brad Pitt thing.
No, me either. I never hopped on that bandwagon. I'm on the, like, you know, Tom Selleck, Stephen Lang, Liam Neeson bandwagon.
I'll give you the Silver Fox.
Slang, if you will.
That's what he goes by.
I know, he does. At Comic-Con, he said that. He called himself a Silver Fox, which cracked me up.
Which is why we call him the
Silver
Fox.
What was the name of that TV show that they came to Comic-Con
for? Terra Nova.
Terra Nova, thank you. I forgot.
Actually, I believe it was... Hold on. I think it showed up in my time hop. I think it got canceled like 3 years ago today.
Yeah, it was off the air pretty quickly.
It only... Well, because it was so expensive.
Yeah. CGI-wise, it was ridiculous.
It was so expensive.
Yeah. But that was... I think that was our first...
Yeah, 3 years ago today, it was announced as the first cancellation of the season.
So it was our second year at New York Comic Con that they had the Terra Nova panel then.
No, it was the first year.
Was it?
Right, because the first year we went to a whole bunch of panels, none of which for some reason, the first year, we went to a bunch of panels, but I didn't, care about any of them.
I remember that.
Like, there were all sorts of panels happening, and the group of people we were with were like, oh, I want to go to this, I want to go to that. I was like, well, I'll go to that, but I don't.
Okay. Yeah, we hadn't quite gotten to the point where we were like, let's split up because we want to go do this.
Well, not only that, but it was like, what are we going to go do? We did split off for a while and check out the floor while a couple people were in a panel for, I think it was Nikita.
Yeah, you. I know I didn't go to the Nikita
panel. I didn't go to that one either. But like, there wasn't any panels that made me go like, oh, I need to see that. No. So I think we ended up going to Conan.
Conan the Barbarian, because Momoa was there.
Because Slang was at both panels.
Yes, he was there too. That's right.
It was our Slang weekend.
Sitting in the Terra Nova panel, it was me, you, and Les. Sitting in the Terra Nova panel, all three of us were like, oh, he is a silver fox.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's on the list.
Fox him.
We're going to keep him on the foxy list. Oh, my goodness. Well, speaking of other movies, we have some interesting movie news that came about this week. So I'm really sad I'm not going to get to do this, but they're doing the ultimate Marvel movie marathon leading up to Avengers Age of Ultron.
I am trying so hard to do this. I need to find someone to go with. I can't in good conscience do it by myself because
no,
27 hours by myself I can't do. So I'm trying to coerce. Yes, there we go. That's the word I'm looking for. It's been a long day, folks. I'm trying to coerce one of my friends to actually leave work early, come up from South Jersey, meet me in Manhattan to go do this.
I so would do this, except for the days of the week that it is.
I know. I'm willing to, like, I think if I went to my boss and was like, listen, this is very important, I need to do this.
Well, here's, if you guys haven't heard about this, which I'd be surprised if you haven't yet. So what they're going to do is starting at 6 p.m. on April 29th, it's in select theaters, which means it'll probably be, like, in major cities.
There's only one in Manhattan.
Yeah, there'll probably be one in the Philadelphia area if we're lucky. We might not get it down here. But 6 p.m. on April 29th, they're going to start this off with Iron Man and then go through all 11 MCUs.
Yep.
Leading up to Avengers Age of Ultron in 3D. And that the thing that's really good is the two that are leading up to Age of Ultron will likely wake you up if you're starting to get sleepy, which by that point I'd be dying.
You gotta finagle this a little bit. You also have to decide which movie was not your favorite if you have to fall asleep. But seriously, if I get to go, I'm staying up for all of them.
I have already looked at the list, and if I would have gotten to go, I've never seen The Incredible Hulk.
You're not missing
And
up.
I haven't seen Iron Man 3, but I've also heard I am not missing anything, so I would probably sleep through Iron Man 3 and maybe Thor the Dark World.
No, there is no sleeping. I will do this whole thing.
Would not sleep through Captain America the First Avenger, even though I've watched it, spoiler alert, a lot of times. Couple of weeks.
I'm just saying.
Of the Galaxy and Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier, I liked First Avenger a little bit better, but Guardians of the Galaxy is the one right before Age of Ultron. Sure, let's watch that. It's fun.
I mean, as soon as I can find a way to do it, this is happening, and I will stay up for all of it.
Yeah. So we have a link to the websites for the theaters that are going to have this available, so you guys can go on. It's either AMC, Regal, and Cinemark websites all have something listed.
Also, Lee, it is important to note for those of you not willing to make the 27-hour commitment, which, come on, guys, it's only 27 hours. There are select theaters which are showing an Avengers double feature, which will be showing the first Avengers movie followed by Age of Ultron.
I will be going to a midnight showing of Age of Ultron after I run a show.
Really want to do the 27, but we'll see.
I would love to. I just, you know. The things I have to give up for my profession.
That sounded dirty.
Shut up. I work in theater. We work late at night. So another piece of fun Marvel news, which kind of has been rumored for a while, is that Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye is confirmed to be in Captain America Civil War.
And I'm pretty sure, though I could totally just be making this up, it's been that kind of day, that they are going to, in this upcoming Avengers movie, reference where the hell he was during Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I think I heard somewhere that they were, or at least the fans are hoping we find that out.
I think my personal favorite was, there was someone drew a cartoon, and if I can find it, I will post it, but don't know if I can find it. And it's Black Widow, a little Hawkeye, and Black Widow is like, yeah, it was just like a crazy summer or whatever. And then there's a little flash to Hawkeye sitting on top of a scarecrow with arrows going, die, go for die. And Black Widow goes, you spent the entire summer on the farm, didn't you? It's like, yes, that's what happened to him. We shipped him off to a farm. But he's got like a little straw hat.
So anyway, yeah, Renner's going to be back for, supposedly, for Civil War, which, cool, cool beans. We already know that we have RDJ coming back as Tony Stark for that as well.
As you do.
So looking at the lineup, they've it's basically going to be another Avengers movie, kind of. Anthony Mackie, Frank Grillo, Scarlett Johansson, Sebastian Stan, Robert Downey Jr., Jeremy Renner, like, next.
Well, I mean, at this point, the movies are so intertwined that...
Yes, and there's also, like, it's almost certain that Spider-Man's going to be in Captain America Civil War.
Dum-dum-dum.
So...
But who is Spider-Man?
That is the question.
There's been some rumors, but...
Nothing solid.
It hasn't been anything that made me excited enough to jump on the rumor bandwagon.
No. So, there's also been talk that Robert Downey Jr. is going to appear in the Spider-Man movie that Marvel's doing in conjunction with Sony.
You know what would be brilliant?
Hmm.
Do we know Spider-Man is showing? Is Spider-Man showing up in Ultron? No, Spider-Man's not showing up in Ultron. That would be stupid. It's already done. But he's showing up in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So what that could be is perhaps we get another one of those end credit scenes where instead of Fury, who is now technically dead.
That's just a technicality.
It's just a technicality. He's not dead. He's just dramatically paused. If how Fury came to Tony at the end of Iron Man to talk about the Avengers Initiative, if Tony now is the ambassador, because didn't he show up and talk to someone in one of the movies?
I don't recall.
I feel like Tony went to recruit someone in one of the movies.
It might be one of the ones I haven't seen yet.
He could be acting as ambassador.
Maybe.
Which just makes me think of Newsies. You guys all gotta go out and be ambassadors.
Well, there's also, the thing that I find that's really cool about, well, we have an article from Screen Rant that we're looking at for this that we'll post for you guys, but what's really cool is there's also talk of them using Adrian Palicki, who is currently playing Bobby Morse on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that there might be appearances of Mockingjay in the films, which is really cool. And then Clark Gregg has already teased a potential Hawkeye appearance in this season of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we know that we're getting Lady Sif on tomorrow night's episode. I love that they're trying to tie everything in, but Marvel has had kind of, I'm not going to call it a shakeup, but Marvel's had a lot of changes in the last couple of months with the whole Battle World thing coming in, and they have to shift all of their Marvel films all of their Phase 3 films a little further, kind of, some of them, to make room for Spider-Man. You know, there's a lot of potential, and I completely trust them because they haven't led me wrong yet.
I just want to throw this out there.
Renew Agent Carter? Yes.
I mean, that's the end game always, but what I really want is for everyone to know that Coulson is alive, please. It kills me that Captain does not know.
Oh, yet more angst surrounding Steve Rogers.
So painful.
So much angst surrounding Captain America. He'll know eventually. I haven't seen anything. I'm guessing Coulson isn't in Age of Ultron. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Well, that could be one of those underwrap things that they're not releasing.
Exactly.
And everyone would applaud.
No.
I mean, come on, it's Joss.
Joss likes to hurt us.
Yes.
A lot. Right in the feels. Like, boom, right in the feels.
But for the good. For the good of the story.
For the greater good.
And that's why I've always said stories that don't kill people because they don't want to kill people annoy me, because I grew up in the land of Whedon, where people die. But stories get better.
People die for the laughs. There's a lot going on in Marvel land, a lot of speculation in Marvel land. I have only seen, obviously, one episode of the second half of S.H.I.E.L.D. so far, which was pretty dang awesome, if I might say so.
Mm-hmm.
We now have Quake. And when they revealed what Reyna looked like, I was a little shocked.
Well, you know.
Kind of interesting. The end of that episode was really interesting. And then there's also been talk of, in the newest Age of Ultron trailer, at the very end, they give us a sneak peek of Vision.
Dum, dum, dum.
So,
this creepy movie, as hell, by the
very,
way.
Very, very.
Darling.
Hmm?
before we continue on, because we are continuing on, but I don't want to get too far in.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
near the end. I think it might be time, as promised, secret to word reveal the time. Secret word. So, secret word time. You ready?
As always.
Do you want me to give it, or did you come up with one?
Go for it. No. Do you need a drum roll?
I mean...
No, what? Come on.
I mean, we all know what I'm going with, right?
Why don't you say it? Stop keeping them on the edge of their seats. Just say the word.
But first, before I say the word, I want you all to know I check all the entries.
We do. We do so check these
the
entries.
Actual word in. Just so, you know, also for those of you who are like, oh yeah, I left a comment on the website. If you didn't, I know.
We do know.
We have to approve comments.
One of us has to approve the comment. So if you didn't comment, we will know. And you will be eliminated.
And you will be eliminated. Not entirely, just that.
That particular entry.
Yeah, we're not that mean.
So, word them.
Well, it's more phrased. Renew Agent Carter.
The secret words are Renew Agent Carter. So go over and add that in, get another entry in. You've got like 13 days left in the
I believe
contest.
So. Well, it's not up for you to enter the word yet because this isn't edited yet. But it'll be up tomorrow and you can enter in the word and get 5 extra points. Okay. That's right. I'm giving you 5 points for this because you made it through.
Because you have listened to us talk about The Duff.
Hey, it is an excellent movie.
I didn't say it wasn't, did I? So on to some other kind of odd movie news. Like this just
I love when you're reading notes to give things and you're just like
This one I didn't know that Barbie was going to make a movie to begin with, and now I have so many issues with this. I like even reading this article, which we found on the Mary Sue, they're talking about how Barbie has been like a symbol for women everywhere for
she turned 56 today.
Yes. But they're talking about how apparently Barbie's been all about female empowerment for... That's loosely, iffy. Mattel. Please use that loosely.
Iffy. Well, you know, I mean...
I see where they're coming from with that, because if you look at all the different versions of Barbie that are out there, she went from being, you know, like a stewardess and a waitress to now being like a veterinarian and a doctor.
And a doctor.
Which, good on you for that, but we have a woman who, if she were a live woman, would be top heavy and wouldn't be able to stand upright.
Well, yes, and also on her tiptoes constantly. Right. But that's beside the point. I will say the one thing that gives me at least a teeny tiny bit of hope is the fact that Diablo Cody is taking over the script.
Yeah, that was the one thing in it that made me go, oh, maybe, okay.
And that is the only reason I thought we should include it. She's actually a very interesting woman.
Is she?
Just in general. Like, she, I read her autobiography, Candy Girl, which talks about when she was a stripper.
Huh.
Just because she wanted to be a stripper.
Good for her.
Not like I needed the money. I mean, of course, money is nice and helpful. But, like, she was also, like, in a relationship at the time. He was very supportive.
Okie dokie.
She had another job. It wasn't, like, her only job. It's a very interesting read.
It sounds that way.
Mm-hmm. I suggest one checks it out.
In the right hands, this movie, and it's going to be live action, you guys. It's not just like an animated Barbie movie. This is live action.
I know. Can you imagine being cast as Barbie?
That's what I've said. That's what I'm sitting back thinking. Who are they going to cast?
It has to be an unknown.
It would have to be, because I can't think of a known that fits.
Well, also, they would want her to be Barbie.
Yeah. Like, once you are Barbie in this movie, you're Barbie. Kind of like once you're a character in the Marvel Universe, you're it forever.
That's brilliant. Now I really want to know who they're casting as Barbie.
Are they even... I mean, they're not at the point of casting yet. They're still kind of
writing
it.
They're still working on a script. They haven't done that yet.
But, yeah, I mean, that's interesting to think about. Who would play Barbie?
Right?
It's kind of like that's that question everybody gets. Who would play you in the movie of your life? Who would play Barbie? In the movie of her life.
In the movie of this toy's life.
Yeah. That would be really cool if that's the way they did it. Like, start at the very beginning and had her go through all of the decades and, like, the 60s, the 70s, Barbie of the 70s. That would be so fun. That would be so fun.
Would it? There was a lot of powder blue eyeshadow mistake in the 70s.
Yeah, but the ones from the 40s are amazing.
Oh, they're lovely.
like the eyeliner and oh, they're so cool. And they had the way they made them back then were really cool. Mm. We just geeked out over Barbie.
It happens. I actually I bought my mother two remakes of the vintage ones. The first one I bought her was the one she always wanted when she was little but didn't have.
Aw.
Mm-hmm. It was the one that was in the white and red, white and gold with like the red capelet and the little pillbox hat.
Aw. Oops, aren't cute. You sweet?
I'm adorable.
You are adorable on occasion.
Sometimes. But yeah, so like I said, the only reason I pretty much included this to talk about was I'm really interested if they keep her on it. I mean, Lord knows when something's being developed, there's always 1,000 writers.
They probably, it sounds like a good choice. You never know where this could go.
True, but also Joss Whedon sounded like an excellent choice for Wonder Woman.
Okay, I'm going to forget that you said that.
Unfortunately, I can't forget that that happened.
Wasn't it Adrian Palicki?
No, that was, Joss Whedon was working on the movie script that never got made. Adrian Palicki was for the TV show, the David E. Kelly TV show, which...
That was awful.
So bad. Still talked about among the acting community. It's just being awful.
It was awful. Awful pilot. That's unfortunate, because she probably would have made a really good one.
Mm-hmm. And you know who else was in that pilot? Pedro Pascal.
Oh, that's AKA right. That's right. I forgot he was in that.
Mm-hmm. He was a cop.
I've only watched it once. I can't stomach it a second time. So, one other little bit of news that kind of threw me for a loop. Marvel not going to be at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
That's what they're saying right now.
Well, however, it's just interesting to think that maybe there won't be a Marvel panel at SDCC this year.
Well, they have proven they can do their own events. They had that whole release event.
Oh, no, good on them. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, per se. It's just interesting.
Oh, yes.
It's normally... Again, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. I never really know. We've never been to San Diego Comic-Con, so we're not quite positive of the way they do the panels. But isn't it usually the last panel on Sunday, the Marvel panel?
I have no idea.
Why did I think it was the one that, like, closed Comic-Con?
I
could be completely wrong with that, although that would be an epic way to go out.
I mean, that would be the way to do it. I don't think that's how they do it, but I'm not entirely sure. I can't.
I'm not sure, because, like, our... quote-unquote Marvel panel at New York Comic Con was on Saturday?
Friday.
Friday.
There is the theory that they just haven't announced that they're being there yet. And they're just sort of, you know, being...
I thought I saw some kind of an official...
Not official. James Gunn said they're not going to be there. And then he said, you know, I don't lie, but...
The way he phrased it, I think his response to whoever was asking was, I don't know if I will be there, but Marvel will not.
No, it was, someone had asked him if he was going to be at Comic-Con. He said, well, Marvel's not going to be there, so I don't know if I personally will.
Yeah, that was the response.
Which...
That made me sit back and go, hmm.
Which, you know, could be a brilliant marketing ploy on Marvel's response to be like, let's drum up some talk, because the internet exploded as soon as that comment came out.
Completely.
And, you know, Gunn has enough cred where he could say random stupid things and people are like, oh, okay. And then Marvel could just be like, well, it wasn't set. Now it's finalized. We're going to be there now. And
which they love to pull.
Right.
And that is, you're right. It's an excellent marketing play because everyone is buzzing. But it could be detrimental too, which is why I think it might not be. Because there are going to be certain people who buy a ticket to San Diego Comic-Con because the only thing they're going for is that. There has to be a section of people who do that. That's just like there are going to be certain people who buy a ticket to like Philadelphia Comic-Con for a specific person.
Well, yes. But Marvel Films isn't going to be there.
I don't know. Obviously, we don't have any insider view and we don't know the exact specifics. It'd be interesting for them not to, considering last year they had, like, a lot going on. They had the Agent Carter panel and they had, you know, Marvel had a pretty heavy presence.
Right, but like I said, they have proven they can throw their own shindig.
Yeah.
Also, what about D23? Aren't they technically able to do that now?
Yeah, considering Disney owns them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So...
We actually, I don't know if you know this, we have a friend who goes.
I know this.
Okay, I didn't know if you did.
I know this.
You're like, I knew that. We do have a friend who goes to D23. So, is this the shades of things to come? Are they no longer going to go to SDCC? Are they just going to go to D23? to drum up more business.
Are they just going to do their own thing?
Or do their own. But think about this. If they do start just going to D23, that's Disney going, oh, no, we want the money.
Well, yes.
So, you know, Marvel fans will now start going to D23, even if they're not Disney fans.
Which
they can then also, now they can also start including Star Wars, because they own Star Wars.
Which, again, I want to say, I don't really feel like there's anyone who's not, in some way, shape, or form, whether they like to admit it or not, a Disney fan. There is something in the wide canon of Disney that you either like or have liked as a child.
Touche. And you can also throw in there, if you are currently a Marvel fan, you're a Disney fan.
Also Star Wars.
Ta-da! Also Star Wars.
And I think they own a piece of the Muppets. See? All these things.
Yeah, man. I love that Clark Gregg at the Paley Fest last year was going to say something. And I went, wait. I keep waiting for the Marvel mouse to drop out of the ceiling. That's why I call it that. Because he said it. I thought it was hilarious.
Because you know it's just Mickey Mouse dressed as Spider-Man.
In my mind, he was dressed as Iron Man. See?
No, Spider-Man, if he's dropping out of a ceiling.
He could fly in.
But that's not dropping out of the ceiling.
Okay, now someone has to do fan art of this. As Mickey dressed as all of the Avengers. Well, all of Mickey
and Minnie. I'm pretty sure that exists.
Mickey and Minnie dressed as all of the Avengers.
I'm pretty sure that exists.
It has. If it does, please someone send it to us, because that would be hysterical to see. Oh my goodness, that's something to look for on Tumblr. Woo! I went there.
Someone's punchy.
Oh, a little. I'm very well rested. I had a full 4 days of technical rehearsals, which was 12, 13-hour days at the theater, and I slept until like 1 o'clock today. So I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. But anyway, that'd be really funny. So yeah, what are your thoughts on Marvel maybe potentially not being at SDCC? Does it change you wanting to go? It wouldn't change me. I mean, we don't really particularly want to go to San Diego Comic-Con. We're planning to go out there to do Nerd HQ.
Here's the thing. I'd like to go at some point. Is that point now? Probably not.
No. We don't really have, I'm not going to say we don't really have to. It's not like it's required. But like, we have New York Comic-Con on this coast, and it's getting better and better every year.
You're more of the, like, we don't really have to go. I, again, would like to go at some point. And I feel like at some point you have to, just to have, like, the experience. No. But
see, I'm not of that. No. Maybe. But I don't know if I could do it as a fan. Like, I'm not the kind of person to sleep in line to get into a panel. And all the panels I would want to see would probably be in Hall H.
So. And all the ones I would want to see would require me sleeping.
Would require somewhere. Me sleeping on the pavement. Which, you know, if you guys were looking at our tweets last week, we actually got on Cup of Tea with Englishman SDCC and talked about, you know, how people will pay out the nose for these hotel rooms that they barely see because they're sleeping in line for Comic-Con. And I was like, I don't think I could do that. And how do you I hate that you just texted me that.
By the by, she's saying that I texted her the Mickey Mouse is Spider-Man, but go on.
She just texted me Mickey Mouse is Spider-Man. There's the Marvel Mouse. Anyway, how do you justify getting a hotel room if you're going to sleep on the pavement? I just, for me personally, no bueno. No bueno. I'll go to New York Comic Con, or I'll go out there and I'll do just like strictly Nerd HQ and all the other events around Comic Con and probably never set foot in the convention center and have a great time. So, but I hear you. It's probably one of those things that you'd really at least have to do once in your life, because it's like a geek cultural event.
Yes. Again, I'm not saying that once is anytime soon, but you know, at some point.
We don't know when that point will be. But, oh, no, that has nothing to do with it. I was going to say, Paley Fest starts this week.
Started last week. Didn't it?
No, it starts this week.
Oh, it starts this week. No, they started this weekend, past weekend.
Over the weekend, yeah. But a lot of the panels are going to... the one that I want to watch is on Thursday night.
Kate don't care about any of what y'all want to watch.
Kate don't care about nobody else. What she wants to watch is on Thursday night.
Hashtag Kate don't care.
Kate don't care. Thank you. Really. You just made me feel like such a nice human being. But yeah, Paley Fest is in full swing. I feel like every year it kind of changes with the way that they, the amount of panels that they have, and then like the type
the type of panels they have. It was a weird selection this year.
It kind of is. So you're right. It did start on Friday night with the Homeland panel. And then it goes through Sunday the 15th, so this coming Sunday. The panels that they have this year, I'm not going to call them, like, less popular shows, because they're pretty popular if you look at their fandom. So it's, you know, Girls and Arrow, The Flash, Jane the Virgin, and then they're going to have, like, the closing American Horror Story Freak Show on Sunday. So it's a pretty interesting lineup. There are a couple of days where there are multiple panels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Saturday there are three, Sunday there are two. So it's interesting. And if you guys, we put in a post and linked you to the live stream for that. We also have the East Coast Times if you're interested in watching any of them. I particularly am interested in the Outlander panel on Thursday night. And it won't start until 10:25. I'll still be running a show at the time. So we'll see what happens.
Just have it running in the background.
I can't. I'll be up on stage. Paley Fest is fun. It's just fun. Going to it is more fun, but, you know.
No, I want them to do more things in New York.
Yeah, the S.H.I.E.L.D. panel in New York was great. So was the X-Files one that Leslie and I went to last year. 2 years ago. Two Octobers ago. During Comic-Con. That was smart. They did it during Comic-Con. Very smart. Mm-hmm. Which, I just saw today, Gillian Anderson apparently is going to go to Minneapolis Wizard World Comic-Con. Like, the most random thing on the planet. I have no idea why. I was just like, you're going to Minneapolis.
Listen, people like to do random places. I'm just saying. David Tennant.
Yeah.
Raleigh. I believe he's going to Raleigh.
You gotta want... I mean, not that... far be it from me to beseech the people at these conventions who go to that one convention in their town or in their state. And they're very lucky to get these people. I'm not saying that. It's just interesting.
I feel like that might be the first one he's doing stateside, though. And I just...
Yeah, Raleigh, North Carolina, of all places.
I don't know. I don't really? Like,
we do... I mean, certain... It's interesting to me the Brits that they do get and where they get them to go.
I mean, Matt Smith was at Philly last year. But yeah, Philly is, like, at least...
across the pond. When they all go to Emerald City Comic Con, it makes me go, wait a minute.
Well, that makes sense.
How does it make sense? It's in Oregon.
Hold on, I'm thinking.
You're like, wait, I'll come
to Oregon. It's not Oregon. Emerald City's in Seattle.
Oh, Washington, sorry. It's on that side of the country.
Right, right, hold on.
So, they're coming from England to here... The East Coast.
Right, no, sorry. I'm thinking Australia. Never mind.
No,
Australia goes that way.
That would even be like a longer flight than getting to Seattle.
Getting anywhere from Australia is very long.
Oh, I know. I have a very good friend who's an Aussie. She tells me quite frequently how long it would take. They lose a day. You lose a day both ways.
Yes. I mean, I would love to go, but I can't put in the commitment.
Yeah, it is a big commitment for sure. For sure. Well, okay. I think we kind of talked our way through some movie stuff. Hopefully we'll have a fun topic next week. So you guys, if you haven't entered our contest, head on over there. You now have the secret word. We'll retweet the link again for you just to give you a little bit of a reminder.
And don't forget, you can tweet about the contest every day for more entries.
Aha. So you guys can find our Twitter account at AllGeek2, the number 2, Me Radio, if you're not already following us. We also have a blog where we'll post up some of the links to the stuff that we talked about tonight. That's itsallgeektomeradio.com. And you can, of course, find us, our lovely dulcet tones, on iTunes now. You don't have to go to Blog Talk Radio. Rock on!
You can keep us in your pocket.
You can. We also have an Instagram, we have a Pinterest, we have a Tumblr. You can find us all over social media. Go on our Facebook page. You'll find the link to the contest. It's All Geek to Me Radio on Facebook. And until next week, I'm Kate.
And I'm Em.
Have a good night, guys.